1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The president's plan to send National Guard troops into what he's called war-ravaged Portland has been nixed for now. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Late Sunday, a Trump-appointed judge temporarily blocked the administration from deploying any National Guard units to Oregon, saying, quote, there is no showing that there is military help that is necessary.
Israeli and Hamas officials are meeting in Egypt for indirect talks on President Trump's peace plan for Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I can't tell you if Hamas will agree to it. I think that it's possible. I hope it'll happen. But I can't guarantee that it'll happen.
Tomorrow marks 2 years since the October 7th attacks. The Supreme Court begins a new term today. Correspondent Jan Crawford from Washington.
Really, what's hanging over the whole term are these cases involving President Trump. They're going to have to decide the power of the president to impose tariffs and whether he can fire members of independent federal agencies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. This month, the State Department of Transportation urges parents and caregivers to set good examples for teen drivers. Isabella Nieto has more.
A teen driver is involved in a crash every 28 minutes in Wisconsin. In 2024, teen drivers were involved in over 18,000 crashes statewide, causing 70 fatalities and over 5,000 injuries. 24 teenage drivers were killed in these crashes. October is Teen Driver Safety Month, encouraging parents and caregivers to teach their teens how to drive safely. In a video released by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, State Trooper Drager urged parents to make sure their teens know the rules of the road before getting behind the wheel.
Your teen watches how you drive, so be sure to set the right example. Be consistent with the message you tell your teen and your own driving behaviors.
The Wisconsin DOT urges parents and caregivers to have conversations with their teens about the importance of safe driving and being clear about the rules. Never drive impaired, buckle up, avoid distractions, and watch the speed limit.
We all have a role in keeping teens safe on the road. Thanks for doing your part.
For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
United Way's Day of Caring is scheduled for October 25th this year. People can still register to get help with their yards. This community event is intended to help elderly or disabled residents who would otherwise have difficulty getting their yards ready for winter. You have until 4 p.m. on October 10th to register with the United Way. You can call 715-421-0390. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
We're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching him, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies with a few showers possible mainly in the morning. It'll be a chillier day with highs in the low to mid 60s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 40. Sunny and comfortable on Tuesday, high temperatures in the mid 60s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play. After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. He looks a little confused right now because I played the wrong music, but that's okay. Now, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's one curve after another. John and Gordy are here as well from WMDX in Madison. Professional live radio, ain't nothing like it, right, guys?
No, nothing like it.
You got it. Are you in a different location today, Pat?
I am. Thursday, Friday, I was in Nashville. Today, I'm in Dallas for the next
couple
of days here. First, there was a conference that Sherry was attending, and on our way down here to visit, we got one daughter lives here along with a couple of grandkids. The other daughter brought her kids along, so we've got the whole hoot and holler together this week. Down here in Dallas as we enjoy about an hour of the day at the beginning and an hour at the end, and in the middle you just look for air conditioning wherever you can get it. I hope you guys had a good weekend.
We did not as busy as your weekend apparently, but it was warm, beautiful weather up here in Madison and in Wisconsin, I believe. So everything went well. In fact, we might be getting some rain today, which we could use. My lawn looks outrageous.
Mm-hmm. I was busy at the walk to help end Alzheimer's, which was a huge turnout here in Madison at Warner Park, and perfect weather for that. But saw a lot of the folks, and WMDX was one of the participating sponsors for that. So it was great to see everybody there.
And we talked to Pam Yonke, the farm babe, about the World Dairy Expo, and that was just a fantastic event, but really, really hot weather for all the animals there, trying to keep them cool and comfortable, and that was not easy to do. One thing I did learn, though, the cattle or the cows they bring in from Canada have to have passports. So
I didn't pick up on that part of the conversation.
Yeah,
yes, the hoof print. Got to make sure they're not smuggling anything.
Yeah, I mean this is reminiscent of the old butter and margarine battles.
Yes,
of days gone by.
Did you participate in that? Did your parents participate in that?
I don't know. I remember hearing the tales of it about going to get the oleo, and you'd have this little packet of yellow dye that you would mix in with it so that it looked like butter.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't the same.
I think my parents knew somebody in the inside because we bought the yellow margarine already. We didn't have to mix it or anything. We the whole family, by the way, went down there in a car, picked up this oleo margarine yellow, and we brought it back to Milwaukee.
It just sounds like reminiscent of the bootleggers. They needed something else to do once Prohibition was over. So it's like, now we're not running moonshine anymore. We're running margarine into those dairy states that don't allow it. But it was, did hear about I've been monitoring the weather there. It was like 87 up on Lake Wissota on Saturday. I don't think we're going to see 87 anymore.
No.
We could, but it looks like fall's here for real now. And that's fine. You got these great events like the walk to end Alzheimer's. We were just talking before the break about how you guys in Madison, you've got so many trails for biking and walking and doing all these events. It's just wonderful for recreation, and how Wisconsin's been a real leader in converting, you know, old rail lines that aren't used anymore into these bike and walking trails. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's just no excuse to be a couch potato around these days.
Well, and they're just about to start a huge, I think, 3-year project on John Nolan Drive, which will reroute the bike paths over that way. And it's going to reroute everything. It's going to be a mess.
It is going to be an absolute mess. And anybody that uses John Nolan to kind of come into Madison from the south, as Parker points right to himself and chagrins, is going to have to take one of those other roads. I was telling folks before about down here in Dallas. You know, they've got nothing but land. They got nothing but space to put everything in, and so the freeways here have all these extra express lanes and, you know, everything. So it's amazing what you can do with oil money. Apparently there's a lot of it down here.
Yeah.
You can build the roads super nice. Although I did have a comment on here about from Tony going, toll roads, express lanes. You're not turning into a fib on us, are you, Pat? I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to say that. In Wisconsin, I don't know that toll roads would ever fly. To me, that always has struck me as like the, you know, political poison to suggest that we have a toll roads in Wisconsin.
Maybe
there's an appetite now. I don't know.
Well, they talked about it for a while. Mm-hmm. My idea was to just, you know, put a toll road at the beginning at the border.
At the border. Yeah.
And just have, you know, truckers go through. They need to pay for the roads. You know, they're wearing them out. So why not have just something at the border of the state?
Yeah. I'd be good with the trucks paying it, because sometimes, especially when one decides to ride next to the other one and they're blocking both lanes for a while, it's when I get on my soapbox and I'm like, you know, we could give these trucks a road of their own, and they could all just stay on that one road in that one lane. We could even put all the trucks together as they go down. You know what, we could put steel rails down and make it even easier for all that cargo to go up and down. Well, we could call it a rail road. And then we would need quite so many trucks on the road if that could happen.
Right.
I'm afraid that ship has sailed. Everybody wants instant gratification. We can't be waiting for the trains. We got to get things right to where they got to be right now.
Look, I want to take care of the tolls. All the fibbers that are coming up here, they own property, land, lakefront properties. That's cool. Pay for the roads too, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. And I think we should at least get some help with our roads.
Yeah, that is actually where I have the one unpopular position, is people get their EVs and they don't like the higher, you know, cost for the tabs, because they're like, why? It's like you're penalizing me. Well, no, we're just making sure you pay for part of the roads too, because you're clearly not paying it at the gas pump anymore, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but yes, you still got to help pony up for, you know, some of the wear and tear on the roads.
Well, I've got an EV now.
Yep, that's where we turn to John's ongoing update to turn his home into a mini power plant for all the EV drivers in Madison to stop by.
I'm going to start using a lot of electricity in my
home.
How's
that going?
Well, we're getting a charging station put in on the 14th of this month.
Ooh, we're getting there now. Okay.
Yes, and it only costs about $2,000, Pat. So I'm spending tons of money just to put an EV in so I can save a little money on gasoline.
Damn,
I don't
know
if this is working out for me.
I would love to see in the end, if you could track all the expenses and see if it works out in the end or not. I think that it will, but you have to do these big expenses, you know, for outlay, and it makes you question it, you know?
Yeah.
But no regrets at this point.
No regrets. You know, it's just the experience, a lot of learning. You have to really educate yourself on all of this. You know, what kind of stations you use. You have to download the apps for two or three different kinds of manufacturers of those stations and set up accounts with them.
But you're finding a few little things on the car that are not to your liking, though, like the door handles.
Oh, the door handles, Pat. Yeah, you know.
Listen to this.
Look, Tesla came up with this idea to streamline these cars. So those door handles that stick out just a little bit create a tremendous amount of friction.
So they wanted to streamline it.
So they streamlined it, and now you have to push the handle in order, it's kind of like a seesaw, you know. And it just
push it on one side to bring the handle out.
But here's the story.
The other side.
Here's the story. China has decided to abandon that idea completely because they can't really see the logic in going to the extreme of not handling having handles on doors simply for the fact that it might cause a bit of friction. They're not doing it. They're getting rid of it.
We're not racing here. This isn't Formula One where a door handle could make the difference.
Exactly. Right.
Just wait until winter and it freezes over and you can't get into your car.
That's what I'm worried about. You know, ice or snow building up behind the handle and I'm not able to kind of push it in.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll tell you that story when the time comes.
Yeah. No, you won't. You won't be able to get here.
Yeah, that's right. You'll have to tell us the story by phone. You know, say, somebody come get me. I can't get into my vehicle.
That's right. So, well, it'll be an excuse I'll use.
Yeah. Now, you guys, we've all been doing radio for a long time here since, baseball was only on the radio. TV hadn't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. So as you track the Brewers, I wanted to ask you guys, for as long as you've been doing morning radio, when there's either a Packer night game or like the Brewers game doesn't even start till 8 o'clock.
Right.
Do you still for the purposes of, you know, show prep and research, you know, stay up past your bedtime? Or do you just, you know, in this day and age go, you know what, I'll catch the highlights at 5 a.m. and that'll be good.
Oh, I'm staying up, definitely. But I'm
you're staying up.
Absolutely. But I'll take a nap sometime this afternoon to you know, get ready for it. But I know it's crazy. I don't know why they're doing this at 8 o'clock at night. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Just the money. It's just the networks and the money. Yeah. Yeah.
I turn in, you know, I'll get so keyed up. I'm so angry about the game that I won't be able to get to sleep right away. So I just give up early on. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on and I'm good.
Just check the highlights.
Find out in the morning. Tomorrow. Anyway, Gordy keeps track of that for me.
Yeah.
I was explaining how I couldn't see any of game one because we were traveling. We were at the Nashville airport on Saturday afternoon. And you be in Tennessee and you try to get just one of the 7,000 TVs at the Nashville airport to not be on college football. And good luck with that.
Yeah.
So instead, I was following it on the phone. I'm looking at the score updates. Well, first off, the Cubs scored first, top of the first, you know, leadoff home run. And we're like, oh, this is not good, you know. But Freddie kind of, you know, took hold of things after that. And next thing you know, the Brewers' bats are going to work. And as I'm watching the score just pile on, I texted to a couple of buddies. I said, I'm so sad I'm missing this on TV just for the cutaways of Craig Counsell. Well, sure enough, a few minutes later on social media, people start putting posts of Counsell smirking as the camera cuts away to him, which frankly makes it one of the best parts of the game.
Yeah. You know. Well, the fans were really giving it to him in the stadium. It was nonstop.
Can't say that I blame him. I've said all the time, yes, he deserved to be the highest paid manager in baseball, but there were also other teams that were going, and he didn't necessarily have to go to the Cubs. So I don't mind the extra ribbing that he gets and how good this is going to feel if we end up prevailing in this series. But to do that, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have to keep in mind that we still got to play the game tonight. 7:35 is the start time on several Civic Media radio stations. And then you've got the Badgers who will play next Saturday. That's a night game at Iowa. 4 p.m. coverage begins next Saturday. But I was telling Parker before, guys, that we've reached that era now where because the Badgers didn't suffer an embarrassing loss this past Saturday, it's practically a win.
It is.
It's a good way to put it.
Nice way to look at it.
Right.
It's the, what do they call those? The symbolic victories, you know? Yeah.
That's right.
Things that we'll take when we can. We're talking to John and Gordy from WMDX in Madison, and we'll continue that conversation. And then 15 minutes from now or so, we're going to be talking about the cuts that are coming to healthcare. There's a lot of focus on the government shutdown, understandably, but we can't forget how we got to this point. We got to this point because of major cuts coming to the Affordable Care Act and to Medicaid, and Democrats wanting them restored. Republicans need Democratic votes to pass a budget, and yet they don't want to negotiate with those same Democrats. So we'll talk to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin all about keeping our eye on the ball and restoring some of those health care cuts that are otherwise coming. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on!
And save! Badgers win the shootout!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read a face. Deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is from 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Friday, October 3rd, 2025. The show is proudly brought to you by our good friends over at Crockett Septic. Big thank you to them. And thank you to everybody for joining us. And a gigantic thank you to the Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen pageant contestants. We do this every year. We've been doing it for almost a decade, I believe, if not longer, at least as long as I've been here. And it's one of my favorite segments we get to do around here. I get to talk to young people, and I get to feel encouraged about the future and all that, and it's so much fun. And I am new to the whole pageant thing. I've been learning about it over the last handful of years, and many contestants like yourselves have helped me learn about this. So appreciate you all being here today. Want to thank your loved ones for dropping you off and answering my silly questions. Let's go ahead and let you, the audience get to know you a little bit. We'll introduce yourselves, go down the line, and all my questions will kind of go down the line here as well. So if you said, the end, smart move. I'm joking, but I'll go ahead and just go thing down the line here and let you all introduce yourselves, and we'll start with you.
Hi, my name is Suri Manning.
My name is Mia Dine.
I'm Bianca Bowden, Miss Wisconsin Rapids team.
Hi, I'm Alex Markham.
Thank you all for being here. Already knocking it out the park. I could understand you all. You all had good volume, so already we're off to a great start. And Bianca, it's always good to see you. Thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Bianca, before we kind of get asking questions to the contestants here, I did a couple little questions for you, and it'll kind of get the ball rolling here and show the gang here how to do it a little bit, because you're a pro. How have you been enjoying that crown? How have you been enjoying the time?
It's been such an enjoyment and such an honor to represent my home city of Wisconsin Rapids.
Hmm. Have you been able to like find some new things in town or discover some stuff with this new crown that you're doing?
Nothing really. I feel like I've always been pretty involved in the community, so just being Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen has got me more involved.
Anything that has stood out to you? I can't imagine how many things you've been doing, and I'm sure all of them have meant something to you, but anything really stand out that you all, I really enjoyed doing this? Or
I really enjoyed going to the downtown Grand Fair because there was a lot of good food, and I'm a big fan of food.
Right on. Very cool. Very cool. And good to hear. Appreciate that. However, that was the wrong answer. Joining me on the air was the correct answer. You all remember that when you're wearing the... No, I'm joking. That's really good to hear. That's really cool. That's very cool. It is Grand Town, a great event. One of our favorite events. One of our signature events around here. And appreciate you being at so many of those events, really highlighting them, really bringing more of fun and energy. You have a great energy to you to those events. It's also, even with, you know, young people out there, young women in particular, if they are not going to be a part of the pageant, still, you know, look at that. Look at that crown. Look at what you're doing and everything. And you set a standard. You set a bar, and it's really appreciated. Nice work. Done very good work. And I've heard nothing but good things with you and that crown. All I would say definitely all summer, for sure. So.
Thank you.
Nice work. Very nice work. Now it's your guys' turn. Now I get to ask you guys the questions and everything. And this will be fun. I promise. It'll be real simple. And I'll start down the line and work our ways over here. And we'll skip over Bianca because she's done this before. But your first really tough question. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
I'm 14 years old and I'm a freshman at Lincoln High School.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
I am 13 years old and I am an eighth grader at Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School.
I know.
I'm 16 years old and I'm a junior at Lincoln High School.
Fantastic. Nice work, all of you. Appreciate that. Nice work. So now, why did you enter the pageant? Why would you jump into something like this?
I'm very passionate about my CSI, and the whole reason I joined is to just bring more awareness to it.
I joined Miss Wisconsin Rapids because I would always like go to the pageants, and I was just very inspired about what the girls were talking about, and I really wanted to be a part of that.
I joined the pageant because a lot of my friends have done it, so I've heard great things, along with I love my CSI and care a lot about it, so I want to bring more awareness to it.
Very cool. Really good stuff, you all. Really good stuff. What are the benefits you found of being a part of the competition? And you can go a broad range with that, wherever you want, just anything you've enjoyed about it or anything you feel has been beneficial.
Honestly, just all the other people that are doing it. Like, we're all just so nice to each other and definitely have made a lot of friends.
I totally agree with that, and just the support that they give you, it's just amazing to be in that environment.
I would agree. I think the community is a really good experience, and everyone is very open and just wanting to support you and everything you do.
I have to say that one of the most consistent things about all the different contestants we've had over the years and everything is that answer you all just gave there about fellowship, about the support that is there. It's not that different than when I was young. There's not enough opportunities for that kind of thing in our society. Having something like this is a wonderful platform for that. The more I talk about this pageant, the more I realize there is nobody that loses in this pageant. Everybody wins in this pageant. Yes, somebody is crowned, but everybody else is still winners, and there's such a win from this. It's a very cool experience. You don't always get something like that. What will you be doing for your talent portion?
My talent is a contemporary dance.
I will be reading a Shel Silverstein poem.
Mine will be a her story about the life of a shelter dog.
Oh, that's beautiful. That hits the heart. I like that. That's very good. I'm a big fan of dance. I love the idea of bringing that one in whenever I hear about it. And one of my favorite authors of all time is Shel Silverstein. So I really am going to enjoy you three. This is going to be really fun. You guys got this nailed. Great stuff, you three. Great stuff. What about you've all mentioned your CSI a little bit there. Let's get into that. What is your community service initiative?
My CSI is Break the Silence Mental Health Awareness.
And I'm sorry, I'll have a follow-up question for these. Why is that one important to you?
I've struggled a lot personally, and I know a bunch of people have struggled themselves. And it breaks my heart to see people have to go through that, and just to help others means so much.
My CSI is Women in STEM. And I chose a CSI because I'm sure that every woman out there has been told at some point that they can't accomplish something just because they're a girl.
My CSI is turning kill shelters into care shelters. The whole point is to bring awareness of the importance of responsible pet ownership, along with the importance of doing research before you adopt an animal, and just supporting your local shelters.
Mm-hmm. You know, all three very important causes to me and my heart, and certainly to our community. We know that through a lot of our nonprofits and a lot of the things that we do around here. It's so encouraging to hear you three talking about this. And granted, every year we do this, it just gets more and more encouraging because it's different topics, it's different things that you're focusing on.
we got a lot going on in the world. We need, you know, not only young people engaged and caring about these things, but in different things. And you all brought up different topics that are all each one of them just as important as the other. And great to have young minds, great young minds, getting into these things and into these caring about this stuff. That's really good to hear you three. Really good.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you...
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The message was for Milwaukee County, but with a run for governor as the backdrop, David Crowley may have tailored the address for a wider audience. Last week, Milwaukee County Executive Crowley delivered his proposed budget for next year. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is proposing a $1.4 billion budget for next year that includes cuts to transit and health services. It's to address a $47 million deficit.
We are the largest, the most diverse county in Wisconsin. We are the economic engine of the Badger State, and we are Wisconsin's epicenter for culture, entertainment, industry, innovation, tourism, and so much more. So let's act like it. Let's lead by example. The rest of the state is watching how we're going to respond to these challenges, because you know what? They're feeling the pinch too.
The shortfall is said to be caused by inflation, public safety overtime, and the end of pandemic aid. To close the gap, the county plans to reduce bus service hours, raise fares, and cut programs like same-day paratransit. Health and human services, including substance abuse and eviction support programs, also face reductions. Crawley is asking for a $12 million increase in the property tax levy to help balance the budget. The Democratic candidate Crowley now faces a more crowded field in the race for governor. Former Economic Development Director Missy Hughes announced her bid this week. Also running, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, beer vendor Ryan Sternad, and Madison area reps Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce. Among Republicans, Representative Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Showman have declared their candidacies.
The 2026 Wisconsin fall primary will take place on August 11th to narrow the field of those running for governor. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies with a few showers possible, mainly in the morning. It'll be a chillier day with highs in the low to mid-60s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 40. Sunny and comfortable on Tuesday, high temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 51.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua, weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, well, even when I'm on the road, like being down here in Dallas this week, I've still got time to read the Up North News daily newsletter, and you should too. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on the top of our homepage, and get signed up. Today's edition, we've been talking about the Ice Age Trail, and what a beautiful place that is to do some hiking as the leaves start to change color. And so look for an article there that Ellie's putting together, and much more. Again, get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Now getting back to the government shutdown and how long this is going to last, and in doing so, keeping in mind the root cause of this. And we've got a president who's coming up with all manner of distractions. For example, a lot of the halts to federal spending are not being done across the board. They're being done in an overtly partisan political way, shutting down projects in so-called blue states rather than red states, kind of stuff that is, you know, unethical as you can imagine. And we may get back into that tomorrow morning, but I say that to say again, to keep your eye on the ball. And what is this all about? And this is about cuts to healthcare and the increase number of people in Wisconsin and across the country that are learning about it. And they're learning about it because of groups like Opportunity Wisconsin. And Megan Rowe is going to join us now to tell us a bit more about what the group is doing. Megan, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning. It's Monday, so we're hanging in there.
Yes, we are. With, you know, just day after day, and I watch the updates that you're putting on social media and some of the events that are taking place. And, I mean, do you feel like characterized it fairly in talking about the increasing number of people in Wisconsin who are kind of getting past the talking points and understanding what this shutdown is really all about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been working since early 2020 to really highlight the impacts of economic policies at the federal level on Wisconsin workers and families. And I think this moment in time, more than ever since the beginning of our program, we're really seeing it sink in for people. You know, we held candlelight vigils last week before the shutdown took place in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and in Southeast Wisconsin. And it was a last minute event. We put it together and we had such amazing turnout because people were really concerned and are starting to really understand how this shutdown is going to impact their lives.
You know, we had Selena Heller on, one of our reporters at Up North News, and we ran a story that folks can see over on the Up North News social media sites. A woman from La Crosse getting very emotional, tearing up at the prospect of not being able to afford health insurance. She and her husband are just a little too young yet for Medicare, but they're also at a point where they don't have jobs that offer, you know, health insurance. And so the exchanges on the Affordable Care Act made health insurance affordable. And it's starting to hit them just how crazy expensive health insurance is going to become, you know, as the open enrollment period approaches next month. And I feel like what Selena did there was capture in just this one person what I think we're either seeing now or soon will be seen in households all around the state and frankly all around the country as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line when it comes to this shutdown. Republicans shut down the government instead of lowering healthcare costs. They refuse to address massive healthcare cost increases and extend tax credits permanently that help millions afford care. And so, as you said, without action, millions are going to see their premiums rise by an average of 75%. And so rather than fixing the problem, Republicans in Congress like Brian Steil and Derek Van Orden are just sitting on their hands as we speak today.
And the thing is, I mean, and I've seen this in your social media posts and emails, that these are two among many members of Congress who said, we will not vote for something that makes massive cuts to health care. And yet here we're seeing the massive cuts to health care coming. And what we always hear, Megan, is that, well, the cuts are actually to make sure that people who qualify for Medicaid or Affordable Care Act subsidies actually get them. But I mean, that's not the point. The point actually appears to be adding all kinds of red tape or expense to people who do get it. When you're cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid over time here, it's pretty clear that $1 trillion in Medicaid wasn't going to undocumented immigrants.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, earlier this year, Opportunity Wisconsin flew out to Washington, D.C. with a handful of folks from across the state to help them share their personal stories with their members of Congress. And we actually sat down with Congressman Van Orden for upwards of two and a half hours. And in that meeting, he made promises to his constituents in that room that he was not going to cut or touch their benefits. And shortly after that meeting, both he and Congressman Stile passed that tax law that ripped healthcare away from over 100,000 Wisconsinites and made drastic cuts to SNAP. And again, this is all to pay for tax breaks for the wealthy. And now, as we sit here today, they're blocking plans to reverse that damage and to lower healthcare costs additionally.
Can I ask you that when you sat down with Congressman Van Orden, and I just want to know if you heard this much, I recall seeing that and I thought, and I'm sure other people are thinking too, it's like, why are you letting this congressman, you know, first off, it was, I guess, good for him and the others that they sat with you, you know, knowing your positions on the issues and things. I thought, well, you're giving him oxygen to say, you know, what we assume is falsely, I'm not going to make any such cuts. But of course, in hindsight, you see the wisdom of that. You've actually got him on the record with you promising not to make these cuts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we certainly were skeptical that he would even take a meeting with us. And we're glad to see that he was at least willing to sit down in that conversation with his constituents. And like I said, he made the promises that he would not cut those benefits. He essentially lied in that conversation, went forward to make those cuts. And since then, you know, I'd love to give him the benefit of the doubt that he sat down with us. But after he made those cuts, if you'll recall, he has refused to hold any in-person town halls or conversations open to his constituents. And so it's very clear that both he and Congressman Stile know exactly the impact of these votes that they have taken, and they're afraid to adjust their constituents.
Right. We're talking to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin about keeping an eye on the ball when it comes to the healthcare cuts that are being made here. So now I have to, as I often do, say it, you know, in fairness about the enhanced tax benefits for the Affordable Care Act. These are credits that were due to expire. And so there are definitely cuts coming to Medicaid programs. This one is more of something that was due to expire. The point being, though, Megan, is that, again, Democrats have been saying, if you want our votes to help pass a new federal budget, part of it is extending these tax credits. So, I mean, people, I believe, Megan, are aware or need to be aware that in some cases we're talking about actual cuts. In other cases, we're talking about benefits that were set to expire, but they're really good and they work. And why wouldn't you continue them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially you hear stories from small businesses that have benefited greatly from these this additional support in their healthcare costs. And, you know, small businesses are already struggling across this country because of rising costs, because of Trump's tariffs that Congressman Stile and Congressman Van Orden also support. And so this doesn't have to happen. Republicans chose the shutdown because they wanted working families and small businesses to pay more for healthcare. And so they need to be putting these working families first, reverse the harmful Medicaid cuts that they made earlier this year, prevent healthcare costs from rising, and keep the government open.
I've been asked by Tony on YouTube here whether the meeting with Van Orden was that something that was recorded and published? Or is that something that you took part in and reported on afterwards?
Yeah. It's something we took part in and reported on afterward. And there was a group of about six or seven constituents in that meeting, and they all had the opportunity to go around and share their story. which was great and is really at the core of what we do at Opportunity Wisconsin, is uplifting individual stories and help them get across to their elected officials. But it, unfortunately, it seems like it fell on deaf ears.
Yeah. And by the way, there's ample recorded interactions with Congressman Van Orden, for example. He was famous for saying that benefits for people who deserve them won't go down a nickel, a nickel. He repeated it. We've repeated his words back several times that he said they wouldn't go down a nickel. They're going down a lot more than a nickel, you know, as we go forward here. So we've now established these types of cuts, these things that could be restored to make healthcare more affordable. Before we go looking forward, I always feel like it's necessary to again say that these cuts, these lapses of enhanced tax credits, these are not things that are going to save money to taxpayers. These are just all going to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. So for folks going, well, yeah, we need to cut government spending. We're not really cutting government spending here, are we?
No, absolutely not. And frankly, the shutdown that we're currently in is going to be forcing millions to go without paychecks. We're on day six, so pretty soon folks are not going to be receiving their paychecks. It could be delaying Social Security and veterans benefits. And one thing that I think is starting to gain more traction that I don't think a lot of folks are talking about is how it is going to be cutting off nutrition assistance for pregnant women and young children through WIC. That program is set to run out of money at some point this week. And on top of the SNAP benefits that were cut earlier this year, you can imagine that is going to be very devastating for a lot of people in Wisconsin.
So let's look forward then in our last couple of minutes here and, you know, the, either things that you're doing or things that you think people can do if they want to, you know, either learn more about the issue or have some kind of input on, you know, their concerns about the current shutdown.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, we're squarely focused on the shutdown right now and making sure people are educated and understand that this is an issue that can be solved if Republicans like Congressman Van Orden and Congressman Stile would stop sitting on their hands and decide to put working families in Wisconsin first. And so folks can visit us at opportunitywisconsin.org, where they can share their story about how this shutdown is impacting them. They can follow us on social media, share their story there, and stay in touch because we're hosting events all throughout this month and as long as it takes to make sure our elected representatives know how this is impacting their constituents. We're also talking about Trump's tariffs that are really, as I said, having a huge impact on small businesses and families. You know, Wisconsin families are already struggling to make ends meet. And with the rising cost of groceries, back to school items, as we get into the holiday season, we already know that gifts for loved ones are going to be much more expensive this year. And so we want folks to stay involved and stay engaged because raising your voice is really one of the most important ways we can make change at the policy level.
I'm glad you brought that up because we've had all this focus on healthcare, but we also have, you know, the trade war that the president started and the impact that we're continuing to, you know, feel on the store shelves and what we're going to see, you know, come the holiday season. So I'm glad you're able to keep the eye on more than one ball at a time. We always feel so overwhelmed, but we've got groups like Opportunity Wisconsin that are able to do that. Megan Rowe is the program director. And again, opportunitywisconsin.org is the place to go to learn more. Thank you, Megan, very much for visiting with us and giving us some background.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jane Matinair and Greg Bach, have Matinair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to find out what kinds of things are being planned for the show this week. As for this show for the coming week, we've got Dan Schaefer in this block tomorrow from the recombobulation area. We'll have Cam Stevenson live from Capitol Hill at the start of our 8 o'clock hour, letting us know anything new on the shutdown. And we've got Congressman Mark Pocan joining us on Thursday. That again here on these mornings with Pat Wrightlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matinair is coming up next.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Building confidence and changing lives every day. The SWC YMCA is here for your family, located in the heart of Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome fall with a splash by attending the group swimming lessons provided for all ages. It might be cool outside, but it's always warm inside the pool. Go online today at www.swcymca.org for class information and sign up. The SWC YMCA is here for all ages, from youth to silver sneakers, where a healthy way of living is everything the YMCA supports. Come start your health journey together.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Also coming up this week, we'll be talking to Chuck Collins, who was an heir to the Oscar Mayer fortune and then essentially gave it away and has been talking a lot about wealth inequality in the country. He's got a new book, Burned by Billionaires. Chuck Collins of Patriotic Billionaires will be our guest on Wednesday coming up on the program. Jane Matinere is our guest now. Jane and Greg, you can hear them weekday mornings at 9, and you go, well, where's the Greg part of it? Greg's on Friday mornings as part of our history lesson at 6:30, and Jane joins us on Mondays to talk about what's coming up on the show this week. Good morning, Jane. How was your weekend?
Good. Oh, it was great. I was on the road. A friend and I did a road trip, and we went to Prairie du Chien. Oh. He had never been to the western part of the state. I have never been to Prairie du Chien, and mm-hmm. he is a big historical home preservationist, and he's a big part of that in here in Racine. And there is a historic Villa Louis in Prairie du Chien that was built in 1885. Ooh. So we went and toured Villa Louis, and it was fabulous. It was what a beautiful. I love our state so much because no matter where you go, the topography is so different, and it's so beautiful in so many different ways.
I may go back to Prairie du Chien, although I still have nightmares, a little PTSD about Prairie du Chien from the time that I was actually kidnapped aboard a riverboat by Al Gore.
And, oh, yes.
Remember, he did the post-convention rally in the year 2000 at La Crosse, the morning after the Democratic convention. And we were just there to cover, you know, Al Gore getting on the boat. And Claire Shipman was an NBC reporter at the time. And she's like, you have to come on the boat, too. I'm like, no, we have to get back to Eau Claire. Well, they're only talking, taking questions from local reporters. So you have to come on and ask a question for NBC Nightly News. Tom Brokaw's counting on you. Well, how are you going to say?
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. And they'll just let you off right at the next stop. There was no next stop.
Oh,
hours and hours and hours went by before we could interview Al Gore. And yeah, we covered this, what, 10 a.m. event or whatever it was. And it wasn't until like 10 p.m. we got dropped off in Prairie du Chien.
Oh, no.
Had to basically ask our competition at Channel 19 if we could ride in the back of their news car.
We're just going to hang onto the sides. Would you mind if we we
had to lay in the back of, you know, like the station wagon on top of all the spools of cable and camera equipment all the way back to our car in La Crosse and then get back to the station sometime well after midnight. So I never got my piece on air. There was nothing on you know, the nightly news or anything like
gosh.
That. It was an entirely wasted day, which is not the fault of the good people of Prairie du Chien, I hasten to add.
Yes, probably.
That's my experience there. So I need a better experience. So I'm glad you've suggested a place I could go.
You should go. Yeah, yes. You should go to Prairie du Chien. It's a lovely little town and some great little restaurants and little shop hays. And then if you drive right over the bridge on Highway 18, and then you're in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And again, Little Marquette, Iowa is right on the other side of the bridge. I wanted to drive over the bridge because ever since a couple of years ago, one of my sisters and I went to Superior Duluth, mm-hmm. and I drove over the Blotnick Bridge.
Yes.
I've had bridge phobia. So I am trying.
I believe it.
That is the scariest bridge in the
world.
It
is a very scary bridge. Yes.
Is it old and rickety or what?
It's a metal.
Very long.
Structure.
It's very archy. So you it sometimes feel like you're just going to go right over the edge at some point.
Yeah.
And it's way up above the Twin Ports, of course, because all these massive ships have to go underneath.
Yeah, it's a really high bridge. So I'm trying to get over my bridge phobia by attacking smaller, less scary bridges.
Yes. People know the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee, and I'm blanking on the name of the bridge in Green Bay, which also, of course, is a big high bridge as well. The Blatnick Bridge puts those to shame.
It really does. And normally that has never happened to me before that I got freaked out by driving over a bridge. But yeah, we're halfway over the bridge and there was all this construction. And I looked at her and I said, we're going to die. I love you. It's been great. Thanks.
Okay. Which is why it's being replaced, because it's now 60 years old and starting to not be as safe. So
and who did that infrastructure
that
law
would be,
that actually
that would
helped?
Be Joe Biden and a Democratic Congress.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's right, because no Republicans voted for that, did they?
Not from Wisconsin.
Not one.
Not a single one, including Tom Tiffany, the congressman for that area. Yeah.
Little details.
What do you have coming up on the program?
Well, coming up today on the show in Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director. She's going to join us after the 9:30 news for a little update on what happened over the weekend. After the 10 o'clock news, we're going to talk to journalist Jackie Lydon and author Kathy Giorgio, who is an author from Waukesha. She was on like this Waukesha star, you know, she was one of the alumni stars because she was an author. And then they banned her book. We're going to be talking about book bans. There is an event in Waukesha this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If you are, this is something that, again, because of all the other news that happens on a daily basis, we have forgotten that we're still banning books.
Yeah.
And what this means and what this indicates and why this isn't good. So we're going to talk about that in hour number two. Last half hour of the show, we lighten things up, Pat, with Audio Sorbet. And we're going to talk about how do you alarm? How do you alarm?
Okay.
Some people... Greg doesn't use an alarm.
I love my watch. I love using my watch alarm because it's just a very gentle thing on your wrist to wake you up. It's not the
slap you across the face.
Other people really need that, you know.
Greg said he wakes up before his alarm almost all the time.
I often do.
I still have a clock alarm.
That's adorable.
I know. Isn't that cute? For those of you who are watching on the stream who don't know, a radio alarm is a small box that you plug in, and then you can get radio stations on it.
You got to
and
send
you
can a also photo to Parker.
Set, you yeah. can set the alarm. It's an amazing thing.
It is, especially if and if you don't want to hear the radio station, you just put it between stations and you get the static instead.
Mine actually has, I have the choice of sounds. Ooh. I can have the crashing waves.
Oh.
I can have the rainforest. Nice. I don't all rainforest. Right. That keeps That's me awake. Great. And then I think of snakes. But anyway.
Thank you, Jane. Have a great day. Appreciate it. The rest of you have a wonderful day as well. And we will see you back here from Dallas tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Demonstrations changing shape in Portland, Oregon, as a federal judge temporarily blocks President Trump from sending in federal troops in the name of fighting crime. CBS's Ashar Qureshi.
Our producer in Portland told us that before those clashes at the ICE facility, the city was calm and those protests have been contained to a single block. The city even hosted its annual marathon yesterday.
Senators back at work in Washington with no signs of movement on the sixth day of a government shutdown, Majority Leader John Thune tells Fox.
The Democrats just need to open up the government. I'm hoping that some of them have a change of heart.
Set a budget for holiday shopping yet? One company expects it'll be about 5.3% higher than last year. Adobe Analytics' Vivek Pandia says we'll have new helpers, too.
We're seeing consumers lean on these generative AI platforms to get ideas on what to buy for different people, to find out where they can get the best absolute deal and